AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
We're reconsidering everything right now. What is time post-COVID? What is truth in Trump's America? Is You've Got Mail secretly a movie about a creepy gaslighting stalker? We can't answer the first two questions, but we have opinions about the third. We on Hot and Bothered are revisiting romance movies of the past and asking, what were these movies teaching us? What did we not even realize they were teaching us? Hot and Bothered is me, Vanessa Zoltan, a pop culture critic and nice lady with opinions, and Hannah McGregor, a bona fide professor of media studies, loving love stories, and also just a little bit concerned. Come listen to Hot and Bothered.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White. I am your host of Keeping It Real on Purpose, the place where we talk to real people about real things, all on purpose. And today we have a guest, none other than Kevin Lacey of Bo Lacey Construction. This, I believe you're going to be my first guest from Construction Works, so I'm totally excited about this. I love construction, by the way. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here today.
Great. So how do you show up in the world?
Ooh, how do I show up in the world? I guess that's kind of my own interpretation of what that means.
Yeah.
Okay, so I show up in the world, I guess, by striving every day to be the best neighbor, father, husband, son that I can be, and try to show up by leading by example and making the world a better place.
That's great. Yeah, one person at a time, right? That's all we need. One person
that's
at a
right.
time. We don't need everybody. Yeah, that's great. So I want to learn something about Bo Lacey Construction. Tell us about you know, what you do, where you do it, how you do it, what you provide. I want to know about all of that.
Yeah, so we're a residential, we do some commercial, but mostly residential home improvement. So we do roofing, siding, windows, and bathrooms. Bathrooms we do out of our Mansfield office, and that's kind of where it all started in Mansfield, Ohio. And then the other branches, the other three locations, we just stick to the exterior stuff. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been doing this?
So, Bo Lacy. So Bo's my dad, and he was an entrepreneur, and he started his own company in 1984. And, you know, great father, great husband, you know, worked really hard in his business. And it was a small business, just him and maybe a couple guys, and they would build houses. And, you know, I kind of see where my dad struggles with the home improvement sector. It's a very difficult sector to be in, and just small business in general. And 2012, he passed away suddenly. And my best friend from college, we played college football together at Ashland University. And we decided to continue his business and his legacy. And so that's how we're at. So I've been in it my whole life, but as it sits as a professional since 2012. So 2012, we've been in the business together.
Okay. And I like how you said about legacy, because, you know, building businesses and building, you know, building out an idea of a business, I like to always think about it. Is it legacy worthy? Like, can my children, you know, can my, you know, I don't know, if I don't have children, with my niece or nephew or somebody kind of could take this over and continue what the meaning of it, you know, on a continual basis, like after I'm gone. And I like that part about that, what you just said. It's really important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, just saying that, you know, one thing that's really cool is my dad never advertised. He kept really small. And you know, now we're across, he would never believe the company what it is today, and it's across the whole state of Ohio, and his name's on billboards, his name's on trucks, and he's so it's pretty exciting to be able to, you know, kind of build the brand, build his name, and keep his legacy alive. And that's pretty cool.
Do your children, you said you have children, right?
I do, yeah. I have a son who's 16 and a daughter that's 14.
Okay. Do they understand the legacy that you're trying to build, or are you sharing that with them, you know, for the coming future for them?
Yeah, I think so a little bit. But, you know, the funny thing is, the last thing I wanted to be in is construction when I was growing up in it, and seeing my dad struggle with it, and you know, just everything that goes on with being an entrepreneur and finding the right people and finding jobs, and, you know, people not paying you, and, you know, just that whole thing. I was like, that's the last thing I wanted to do.
Right. But I think don't you think that happens even in the bigger organizations? We just don't see it. We see the aftermath. You know, because I could see, like, what you were saying about your dad, he didn't advertise to everyone, like he did it word of mouth. And now you're doing it in a bigger scale. Now his name is all over the billboards. You know, sometimes it takes that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I have friends that grew very large construction companies that, you know, in other cities in the United States. And, you know, it's kind of a really, if their sons or daughters want to take the business over, it's kind of a golden ticket, because they've already built it out. They've already got policies, procedures in place. And if they just manage it correctly, they could be on their way. But I've seen guys that just do not care, do not want to take over their parents' businesses. And one guy in particular, he just sold his business, said my son didn't want nothing to do with it. So
but
you know, so sometimes you think that may be a dream for you, but not necessarily your children.
Yeah. And that's when you sell. That's when you sell. You're like, okay, this is it.
That's right.
It's time to sell.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay. So how did you, rebrand yourself? Like, because your dad was doing the, you know, the word of mouth, you know, and that's not really advertising. But how did you change that? What woke you up and said, hey, this has got to be different?
Yeah, so I was working for the state of Ohio, and my business partner, John, was on the road working for a national roofing company. And when we decided to put our heads together, he was able to save some money up, and I cashed in my retirement. And we're like, you know what, we're going to go all in on this thing. It's either, you know, sink or swim.
Right.
And really, really, neither one of us had a whole lot of background in marketing or anything. We started in the attic of my house, but we just knew that, believe it or not, Facebook early on, we took on Facebook, and it was very cheap to run ads on Facebook. Right. So we had a lot of success with that. And I tried to take a play from the Nike logo. I thought that was cool. So I kind of played a swoosh, and yeah. So my business partner, John, was interested in those things. So I think that's how our paths kind of, he got more into the production side, and I got more into the marketing and sales side.
Gotcha,
and that's okay. How we are now. So.
Okay. So he got you got more on the sales, you said?
So literally I would go, you know, if somebody had damage on their house, I would literally go, because I had no leads, no advertising, no nothing. So I would literally go knock on people's doors and ask them if I could give them a quote on their roof or their siding. Nice. And, grinded it out. And we did that, some storm restoration stuff, and we grinded at that, doing that, until we were able to build up our brand enough and start marketing.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's tough, because knocking on the doors, even when you're running for office, is a lot. Yeah, that is tough.
Oh, yeah.
So how long did you do that?
Boy, I probably knocked doors for 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it made it, but, you know, we would hire salesmen, and they would do the same thing. And then slowly we started to go from door where we didn't have to knock on people's doors, and we could, we don't do that at all anymore. Like, but we need to do it. We need to start a canvassing team, you know, a door knocking team. But we just been a little spoiled, because the market's been a lot of great tailwinds for us in the home improvement sector lately.
Right. It has. Yeah. So you kind of got creative. Because I'm sure nobody was doing the door knocking when you were doing it. Not very few people. Anyway.
Yeah. Not my area. Maybe in the bigger cities and stuff, but in my area, yeah, I'd probably be the only guy knocking on your door. And, you know, in 2012, you know, the internet was not in full swing yet. People still look at the yellow pages, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, you use your Uncle Bobby to come put the roof on your house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your Uncle Bobby. Yeah. Comes by. Things. Yeah. That was the time. It sure was. Yeah. So how
then
can
Uncle Bobby
can,
didn't show up?
Then who showed up?
I said, yeah, but then you'd hire Uncle Bobby. And Uncle Bobby wouldn't show up, and
right. Oh my God.
And you know what I mean? Gosh. So there was a place for us. Yeah, there's a place for us.
Yeah, because I can remember my mom when we moved out here. It was always the guy from down the street that he wouldn't show up. Then we'd have to go through. I remember the yellow pages. Oh my goodness, you'd go through the yellow pages and find somebody. It was so funny. And we don't do that now. You can't even find a directory right now.
No. I got a funny story about the yellow pages. Is one of my yellow page salesmen gave me a call, and he goes, "Hey, I want to come sell for you." And he says, "You know how salesmen is? I actually sold you yellow pages." I was like, "Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point, sir."
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, you can hardly find newspaper things going on now. You know, I'm just like so shocked that there's still some newspapers around that people are reading. So how would you tell someone to really just start to think outside the box? Because I think that's what you did with your business, you know, when you got it from your dad. I think you really thought outside the box. So how would you start to help someone else think outside the box?
Yeah, so, you know, you always want to try to find a void in, you know, in whatever business you're doing, you're trying to find a void. And the void that we were able to fill is, you know, a professional contractor. And how do we get out and see these people and meet these people? And, you know, through and think outside the box, you know, you in my case, we would do home improvement shows and garden shows and dog shows and, you know, places people don't go to for those products. Because, you know, I'll just give you an example. They're like, why would you set up a home improvement tent at a dog show? It's like, well, number one, if people are going to a dog show, they got money, right? They're going to a dog show. Yeah. They got money. Number one. Number two is they probably own their house. And number three, I'm the only guy there that does home improvement. So they're not,
ooh,
you know,
good. That's really good.
Yeah. So I may have four leads out of it, but you know, I'm probably going to sell three out of those four because they're not going to call anybody else. So yeah. Anyway, I encourage any entrepreneur out there, just, you know, think outside the box, go to places where nobody else is willing to go.
Right.
Do things that people aren't willing to do. And you know, and be smart. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, people's already done it before you. Probably read books, mm-hmm. ask questions. You know, things like that.
Right. Have you ever spoken at any kind of event? Have you ever talked about construction with a real estate company or anything like that?
Yeah. So I've been on stage a few times. Okay. I was on stage for. Meta invited us all small businesses down to Washington, D.C. They asked me to speak about inflation. So I did about an hour long thing for Meta. And then my company just won the National Contractor of the Year with Certified Contractors Network.
Ooh, nice.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It was a nice award. It's a member of Contractors Nationwide, Home Improvement Contractors, and they asked me to actually do a. They actually asked me to talk about social media marketing and advertising, and like I said earlier in our conversation, that was a big push that we had to get leads that were affordable, and that right. helped scale our business.
Right. Would you think that speaking on stage, did that help you or advance you even more?
Yeah. I mean, when you're up on stage and people are listening to you and they want your email or text because they hear something they like and they ask you questions, you know, you kind of become the expert on that subject or looked up to as the expert in that subject. And that just continues to open more doors for you to do that type of thing. You know, and they're like, oh, is it tough going on stage? It is, but you know, what's tougher going on stage is going and knocking on somebody's door that has no idea who you are. Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah. That's more of a stage there because you really have to come up with stuff. You really have to, come up with, if they say something that you want to challenge, you have to really come up. You got to think on your feet. You really do. That's true. You really have to think like that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I majored in criminal justice, but I got a communication degree from knocking on those doors.
That's a good one. That's really good. How did you leverage, like when you got the awards, right? How did you leverage you speaking on stage? You know, how did you leverage that?
Yeah.
Using the marketing.
You know, in my specific ways, so when you're named company of the year, you know you're doing something right, because it's your peers all, you know, it's a group of your peers that votes on it. And when you win, it feels good, because it's not something that you can like pay for, right? You got to earn it.
Right.
So what we end up doing is, you know, we did social media posts, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. Right. We put it on billboards that we were company of the year, shot some videos. We made like stickers to put on our computers when we're like presenting to customers in the home. That, you know, they can kind of see that while they're in the home and, you know, ask questions about it. Or the salesman can even, you know, when they're in the home, they can point to that and say, hey, I'm so trustworthy that not only am I a member of Certified Contractors Network, but we named Company of the Year last year. So those are just some things that we did. We made a T-shirt up. So we did some internal stuff, too, you know, where, you know, we flew out some employees to Dallas because that's where the award ceremony was, you know, and that's good for team building. And, you know, so it's not only for like advertising and gaining new clients, but it's also really good for culture in the company, you know, that they work for the best company in the United States too, in Canada.
Wow.
So, you know, for them, it's real important. So we bought them all T-shirts and, you know, had a ceremony and we have a trophy case, you know, stuff like that.
Right. So you leveraged it, because I, you know, I see a lot of my clients and a lot of friends of mine and people that I know just don't leverage those awards. You know, they don't leverage them. Oh, I got it. And then they got a bunch of likes, but they don't leverage it, you know. And I think it's important, like you said, to leverage that and see, you know, use it, like really use it in order to be the expert you can be, which is great. I like all the ideas.
Yeah, I agree. Like if you win a, you know, if you're out there listening, you win an award, like you need to make sure, but like it's not bragging. Make it like this. You're bragging about your employees. You're bragging about your product. You're bragging about, you're not bragging about yourself. And, you know, it's other people that's giving you this award. It's something that you're not giving yourself. So make it well known, leverage it, like brag about your people. I mean, you want to have good culture, brag about your people, you know?
Right. Yeah. And when you say culture, you mean within the office itself, you know, being very nurturing and giving back to the employees, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just look, everybody wants to be a part of a winning team, right?
Yeah,
and, and if they don't, they show their way to the door really quick. I mean, they expose if you have a winning culture and you surround yourself by, you know, A players don't like to hang around C players.
Yeah.
They don't. They want to
do their work.
Yeah, exactly. They got to do their work and they want to win. You know, they want to win. So, you know,
absolutely.
So if you want to be a winner, you know, then the C guys show themselves out the door pretty quick.
Yeah, you'll get rid of the bad apples, right? You get rid of them quick.
Right. Yep. And sometimes they take themselves, you know, sometimes they'll take themselves out too, you know. But if not, then, you know, that's one thing that I know a lot of small business owners struggle with. They have good relationships with their employees, but the employees are not working out. And it's tough to let guys go. And I get that, but
yeah,
you know, there's nothing that'll slow your company down from being able to expand and then, you know, beating a dead horse.
Right. I know I'm going backwards, but I know that you said you worked for the state, I believe. How did you switch your mindset from an employee standpoint to an owner, you know, or a business owner?
Yeah, so I always said, you know, I always said I want to make a lot of money. That's just the truth. A lot of entrepreneurs are not honest with that when they get asked that question.
Oh, that's true. Very true.
You know, I want to do it for my community, my family, like, or whoever that, yeah. And I get all that, like, and you want to do that too.
Yes.
But same time, it's like, I'm grinding every day. Yeah. I worked at Ohio Department of Youth Services. So I'm dealing with juvenile delinquents that are in the state of Ohio. It's a prison system for the state of Ohio. So I love the kids, but there's a lot of rules and laws that you have to deal with and trying to make their day better. It's a really tough gig, and God bless everybody that's in that sector. So I was always looking for a way to become an entrepreneur. I bought and flipped houses. If somebody came up to me and said, I got this idea to sell this soap out of the back of your truck, I'd have been all ears. You know what I mean? Like, how we make money off this, right?
Yes, exactly. So, sounds like me.
We're a rare people like you and I. Is like, whatever this is, like, let me hear it. I'm all ears because, you know, we're entrepreneurs. So,
yeah. And I don't think I remember working for somebody for 4 years. I always had my own business in real estate, and I had my own office, everything, you know, own agency. I always worked for myself right out of college and just started working for myself. I knew that's what I wanted to do, right? And then I started working for somebody, and I was like, oh, boy, I don't like this. I was like, oh, no, I don't like this. I did not like this. And you know, but I guess I was there to appreciate my abilities, you know, and you fall back into the trap, you know, you need a steady paycheck, but the same energy you put into that is the same thing you put into your business, and even more because you want to make money. Cause that's where I was at. Where I was, like, I'm not making any money. This is a joke. This is like a whole joke. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wanted to make money. And now putting all my energy into what I do now, I see that it's the same potential, you know. Well, no, it's not the same potential, but your potential as an entrepreneur is bigger than working for somebody, you know. And you can actually make changes.
Absolutely. You know, Mark Cuban said, I'd rather work for myself making $50,000 a year than for somebody else making $1 million a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that resonates with me a little bit because it's like, because you know that potential is there that, you know, if you're making $1 million, that's great. But if you make the right moves and make the right decisions, that you can turn that $50,000 into whatever your dreams are. Yeah, and exactly. You know, that's a vein I'm in.
Yeah. And I like how you said people need to stop lying because they do want to make money. You don't go into being an entrepreneur to make somebody feel good. You just don't.
Yeah, it's a byproduct, right? Yeah, it's a byproduct. You know what I mean? Like, but what really is money though? You know, money equals freedom, right? Right. So really what you're doing is you're buying the freedom to be able to go do things that you want to do instead of, you know, punching a time clock or whatever you're doing. And don't get me wrong. There's, you know, not everybody can be an entrepreneur. Not everybody has that mindset. Nobody was born that way or nobody had, you know, and I get that. It's not for everybody. Right. And, you know, you know, I know people like that. And it's great. Like, because some of the happiest people I know work for other people and make 50 grand a year and they have their nice little family and they play video games and they hang out and, you know, they have a great life and there's nothing wrong with that either.
Right. No, there isn't. It just is. Some things are for some and some things for other, which is great. So how can people get in touch with you? Now, I'm not one I love to say the phone numbers. I'm old school, the yellow pages. How can people get in touch with you? I love, you know, the phone number because I think people want to hear that phone number so that they can like ask you a question or if they might even be near you that maybe looking for something to, you know, some work or something, or even just to ask you a question. How can they get in touch with you?
Yes. Yeah, so the phone number to the office is 1-800-266-9916. Probably one of the easiest way to, if you have a question, if if you're a customer, that's how you want to get a hold of me. But say you're an entrepreneur and you have questions and, you know, and I can help you in some way, the best thing to do is probably go to my LinkedIn profile. It's just Kevin Lacey, my name. And if you type in Kevin Lacey, Bill Lacey Construction LinkedIn, on a Google search, be pretty easy to find me there.
Okay. So what's the last word you can leave with my audience to encourage them if they're in this type of industry or any other type of industry that's, you know, going to be an entrepreneur? What could you leave for them?
So what I would say is when you hire people, they're never going to be as good as you are. Try to get them 80% of the way there, and that's how you scale your business.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that. I really like that one. I'll take that, Jim, with me. I like that. Well, thank you, Kevin, for being here. This is really, really good. I learned some scaling techniques from you and some, not tricks, but real actual experiences. I thank you for that. And audience, thank you guys for being here, because you could be anywhere else, but you're not. You with us today at Keeping It Real on Purpose. So this is your host, Edna White, and of course, our guest, Kevin Lacey of Bo Lacey Construction, saying goodbye for now.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
We're reconsidering everything right now. What is time post-COVID? What is truth in Trump's America? Is You've Got Mail secretly a movie about a creepy gaslighting stalker? We can't answer the first two questions, but we have opinions about the third. We on Hot and Bothered are revisiting romance movies of the past and asking, what were these movies teaching us? What did we not even realize they were teaching us? Hot and Bothered is me, Vanessa Zoltan, a pop culture critic and nice lady with opinions, and Hannah McGregor, a bona fide professor of media studies, loving love stories, and also just a little bit concerned. Come listen to Hot and Bothered.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. And there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air-chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.